And the first clip that you're going to hear, Mumia addresses what Steve and I were just talking about, the mythology that informs the American narrative as it is fed to Americans. Let's listen.
So, when we speak of key defects of U.S. history, we must be mindful of the fact that all countries have founding myths drawn to inculcate the young into adoration of the nation, which really shows us why school kids get so much bunk in history class, and why most Americans grow up with such myths and still hold them as sacred. We've got to remember that different populations in the U.S. have quite different histories from other parts of the country. Consider this. Isn't it simply logical that blacks, Indians, and WASP whites have profoundly different understandings of history? They each experienced America differently, right? When Americans went abroad, they would point to the Constitution to show foreigners how just the nation was when it came to black people. They could point to the so-called Reconstruction Amendments to show that black folks had constitutional rights. In fact, after Reconstruction, those rights written in the Constitution were eliminated by state laws which supported white supremacy and disenfranchised blacks from voting, from jury service, and a whole lot more. So history, true history, shows us what's underneath the promises, you dig? Also, we try to address and engage all of the communities and histories from an anti-imperialist perspective. So Murder, Inc. seeks to tell the stories of regular people who made historical contributions to making and remaking America. Those excluded millions.
There you have the remarkable articulate voice of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And Steve, as he described his sense of the American mythology, the regional histories, I'm thinking of the clash in the summer of 2017 in Charlottesville, Virginia, which was a seat of Jim Crow discrimination against African Americans. And it was the scene of this protest and counter-protest. The protesters were deploring the removal of Civil War-era statuary, and the counter-protesters, of course, were objecting to the parade of neo-Nazis and white supremacists on the streets of Charlottesville. As we look at this, we see that what you expose in the deep history of the United States still exists in different virulent forms. For example, Mumia referred to the restrictions by states on the constitutional rights of African Americans related to voting. And in 2016, we saw the most elaborate voter suppression scheme run by Republicans, aimed primarily at likely Democrats, and that includes large swaths of the African American community. And in particular, in Detroit and in Milwaukee, those were critical areas where the voter suppression allowed Trump to eke out a margin of victory, only 11,000 votes in the state of Michigan. And we know that there were 75,000 ballots in Detroit where people voted for Congress or Senate or other offices, but mysteriously cast no vote for president. And that suggests that the optical scanners were manipulated to produce no vote for the Democrat. And this is now seen, it's now reported as lower turnout by African Americans in the 2016 election.
Well, we continue to live this myth that America is living in this post-racial period. You know, that was the myth that was put forth when Barack Obama was elected to the White House. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And I think that one of the great reasons that I know Mumia wanted to dig his teeth in on this book was the idea that this American berserk, a term that Philip Roth coined, the late Philip Roth, great American novelist, coined, we are still living with. And he realizes that the future, to get over this obstacle, this dying dinosaur of racism and sexism and just this ultimate American berserk that we watch every day, day in and day out, can really only be rectified and changed by young people. Give young people another chance. You know, it happened a bit in the 60s, and a lot of that great soul that was cultivated in the 1960s, a great part of it sold out. Not everybody, but a great part of it sold out. Had to, or we wouldn't be sitting in the position where we are right now. But it's so important for young people to embrace this book. And we tried like hell to make this book not just, you know, your father's history book, as you talked about in the very beginning, but something that was spirited, that was irreverent, that was funny. You know, bringing back Philip Roth, he had this suggestion that the deadly serious and sheer playfulness in both fiction and nonfiction could exist side by side. And I think Murder Incorporated is a great example of that. We tried to bring in comedians, songs, poetry,